Welcome into Preds Extra, live from Jack Daniel's Barrel House inside Bridgestone Arena. Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover, reacting to what we saw earlier this afternoon here inside Smashville as the Preds fall 5-3 in Game 5. The Dallas Stars take a 3-2 series lead. And Gover, the Preds jumped out good. They jumped out well. Rocco Grimaldi, again, striking and putting the team up 1-0. And after that, I felt the tide really turned. You know, Pecorine made a great save from his keister, a couple of them, to keep the Preds up 1-0.
What a tremendous sequence.
And then the Stars scored. And I thought ever since then, it was mostly Stars. And it was a lot of what we have seen throughout this series, where there's D-zone coverage blown by the Nashville Predators, where the Stars' top line just takes over at times. And it felt a lot like Game 1, but magnified because it was a 2-2 series. And the Stars just ran away with it. And the Preds, once the Stars made it 4-2, you could tell it just wasn't happening today.
It's hard to argue with any of that. I do want to start with a positive, though. That series by Pecorine, we counted 4 saves on that one, I don't know what, 5-6 second series.
On his keister?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. It was really great to see. And you actually thought, I think if you're in the building, regardless of whether you're a Stars fan or a Predators fan, I think after that sequence, or at least during it, you probably thought this is not the Stars' night. Pecorine is going to own this place and everything's going to be fine. You know, towards the Predators' way, and obviously, as you just said, that was not the case. He made these incredible saves. Dallas got a pretty good goal. Pretty like skilled play. I don't know, about 5, 6, 7 minutes later, whatever it was, and you're right. It just never seemed the snowball kept coming downhill. You know, and it was very frustrating to see. The Predators showed a lot of life in the third period, I thought, after Dallas scored again, the fifth goal, kind of the backbreaker.
But
there.
At that point, it was too little too late. Like, I know they scored the third one to make it 5-3. Then
right.
They get a power play opportunity, and that was your opportunity.
Right. If they score there, I mean, again, are you going to score 6 goals on Ben Bishop? Probably not. But if you score there, now all of a sudden the snowball is going down the other side of the hill, right? And can Dallas survive? So it's just – it's very unfortunate, Ryan, that the game had to end up like the way it did.
What's your overall takeaway from this one? Just with a broad brush, what's your overall takeaway?
That this team has come out several times, but we'll just stick with tonight or today, on fire. They came out exactly how you wanted them to come out. Even if Rocco Grimaldi doesn't score that goal, which was gorgeous, by the way, you still thought, okay, the Predators, they came out with the intensity and the relentlessness that you want. They were all over Dallas early.
And
they were controlling the play early and commanding the play early. And then it just went away at some point.
And that was all to be expected in terms of the start. The first 10 minutes, I was not surprised by at all.
No.
Because you knew they were going to respond in some form or fashion from that Game 4 loss. You knew the building was going to be electric, and it was.
It was.
For sure. And then once the Stars scored, once Dickinson made it 1-1, it just kind of reverted back into what we've seen a lot in this series. And it's hard to put a finger on it because you can see them play so well for pockets of games like the first 10 minutes of tonight or the first period of Game 1 or the first period of Game 3 before Pecorine had to stand on his head the rest of the game. It's like if they don't build a 3 or 4-0 lead in the first 10 minutes, I don't know if they can withstand what the Stars are throwing at them.
The thing that's alarming to me, and please give me the benefit of the doubt here. I'm not saying it's easy to do, okay? Especially at the NHL level. But the thing that floors me the most, I think, is that pretty consistently, not every game, certainly not in Game 5, but pretty consistently this team has come out, like you're using your phrase there, Porth, with their hair on fire. They're ready to, you know, they're ready to tackle the world, right? And they come out and they just bring it at the beginning of games. And they can't sustain it. It's almost like, I'm trying to think of an analogy. I won't even pretend to do an analogy. I'll just say it flat out. It's almost like they execute the game plan as they should until there's a moment of adversity.
That is a great
way
of putting it.
Whatever the adversity is, in this case, it was a Dickinson goal. In game five, was the couple power plays that they gave up.
For
early.
Game four, it was.
Game four. Sorry, yeah, game four is the power play.
Once the parade of the penalty box started, that's the moment where it went wrong.
Right. So
when something goes wrong with this team right now, it's like they don't know how to recover.
I have an analogy. I finally figured one out. It's like a vinyl record, okay? The needle is in the groove, and everything is going just fine. Everything is going exactly to plan, and then all of a sudden there's a scratch in the record, and it jumps, and then you can't get the groove back. That's what it is like to me, and I don't quite understand that. Again, I understand that it's not easy. I'm certainly not suggesting that, why can't they just play all 60 minutes? I've played this sport. I've been around this sport long enough. I've covered this sport long enough. I am fully aware it's not as easy as saying that. But what I am saying, though, is these are top-conditioned athletes, right? And to have some sort of just leave it all out on the ice in the first 10 minutes, or I'm using that as an example, first 10 minutes, and then just kind of fade into mediocrity, it's very odd. So, again, I'm not second-guessing the players per se. I'm just saying that this is a pattern that I've noticed over the past, a few months maybe even, especially in this series, but certainly in the past few months where they find, use the word pockets. That's a great way to say it. There are pockets of perfect game plan.
By the way, the Blues just went up 1-0 23 seconds in.
Of course they did. So it's just, I don't have any words for this, Ryan. I am truly at a loss for why this team, who is so good, is struggling this mightily against a team that has a great top line, no doubt. Miro Heiskanen is going to be a tremendous defenseman in this league for years to come, and Ben Bishop is a Vezina Trophy candidate. We found out today, a Vezina Trophy finalist. But overall, if you put these two lineups together, I don't think it's not very gold colored glasses to say Nashville has a better roster up and down. I don't know what the issue is.
But here's my takeaway from this game, and I've hinted, we discussed it Thursday night on Preds Insiders.
Yep.
Something that I keep coming back to in this series, and it was very obvious to me in this game. The Stars flat out just want it more than the Preds do.
There were definitely parts and long stretches of this game where that is absolutely
true. The Stars just flat out want it more than the Preds in this series. Yes. And that's not – I'm not saying that the Preds don't want it.
Of course not.
The Stars are doing the necessary things to go win the game instead of just expecting things to happen.
I agree.
And the microcosm for me of that statement that I just made was Jamie Benn shoving Ryan Ellis behind Pekka on the third goal of the game.
It was a loose puck, for those who didn't actually see it.
They're both going to a puck that's going down ice, and Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi looked a little slow getting to that puck. And it's as if Ryan Ellis was either not expecting Jamie Benn to do anything, or he was waiting to deliver a hit of his own.
Right.
Jamie Benn said, screw it, I'm going to get the puck. And he got the puck. And he immediately passed it out to Alexander Radulov, who was wide open in the slot one time, 3-1 Stars.
Do you remember when it's become iconic, so you certainly should, but the Game 3, Nashville versus Chicago, and Ryan Johansson is on the attack, and he takes Jonathan Toews behind the Blackhawks net in the corner, takes his forearm and just shoves Toews off of him. That one play was representative of that entire series. And I felt like that was the same type of moment tonight, but the opposite way. When Ellis, who is no slouch of a defenseman, obviously, he's one of the best in the league, regardless of whether his play this series has reflected that, he's still one of the best defensemen in the league. And with Ben able to do what he did in that specific example you just gave, and then feed Radulov for the goal. Whether Radulov scores or not is not the point. The point is that one play, that out-muscle play, is very representative of how this series has gone, much like the Johansson forearm to Toews throwing him off of him in the Chicago series in 2017.
I mean, Ben Sagan Radulov tonight, there was no stopping them. They scored three goals. Radulov scored twice. Sagan scored another. And the Preds right now don't have an answer for that line.
You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
What that line reminded me of tonight. And it has all series, but tonight especially. It reminds me of when the Predators beat Colorado last year and that MacKinnon line. When they were on fire, they were unbeatable. And I do wonder if that is a pattern or if it's just two anomalies where you have two world-class lines and they just basically, you know, not quite do what they want, because, I mean, the Predators definitely had some good defensive plays tonight, but they just seem to deliver at the right times.
Mm-hmm.
And they single-handedly carry their team, if necessary, to a victory. And Colorado was the same way last year. MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen. How many times did we talk about that line last year on this show?
A lot, but the Sisson Bonino Watson line at for a lot of that series, was able to contain them and bottle them up. And
but they were on another planet, though. That line, again, whether they scored or not, was just, you just got the sense like, oh, like something dangerous is going to happen. And I get the same sense with this Dallas line. Same thing. It's this one line. The Predators aren't losing the series because of one line, okay? But although you could probably make an argument they are. But I'm saying they're not losing. They're not so good that they're only getting beat by one line. I'm just simply saying that there seems to be a pattern there that if you have an all-world line, it can take over the Nashville Predators, and I don't quite understand that.
615-737-1025 if you want to call in and weigh in with your Game 5 thoughts, opinions, comments. Preds trail 3-2 in this series as the series goes back to Dallas for Game 6 Monday night. We still don't know a time for Game 6 Monday night.
What are we thinking? I mean, it's a Monday night, and there's not really a whole lot else going on, right? It's not like all these series are at Game 7s.
Well, Carolina-Washington is going to have a Game 6. It could be an 8:30.
Please,
we'll
not.
See. We'll see whenever the time comes out for that game. Here's another takeaway from today's game, and we discussed it a lot between games 4 and 5 on a lot of our shows on 102.5 The Game. The stars of this Predators team are getting completely outplayed by the stars of the Dallas Stars, and today I thought was one of Philip Forsberg's worst games as a Nashville Predator. Philip Forsberg.
Really?
Yes.
Like the body of his work, you're saying. Not just this season. But
bad penalty in the first period.
Yeah.
That was,
it's hard to argue.
That was a penalty that was almost the entire sheet of the ice away from Pekka, where he slashed the stick out of the Stars player's hands. He had a turnover that directly led to the Stars' second goal at the beginning of the second period, where Philip Forsberg, even before he turned it over, he has this pass around the back of the net to P.K. Subban where you're thinking, just get it up the ice. Then Subban brings it back to Forsberg, and then Forsberg just whips it aimlessly, gets picked off, and ends up in the back of the net about 5-10 seconds later. And then he loses Tyler Seguin on Seguin, the goal that Tyler Seguin made to make it 4-1. He's just looking around. I don't know what he's looking at. Tyler Seguin just wide open, middle of the slot, puts it home to make it 4-2.
And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I saw that. The first goal that Dallas scored, if memory serves correctly, was also obviously indirect. But Forsberg dumped it to a side of the ice in the neutral zone that there was nobody. He threw a backhand, almost like Arvidsson would be over there for sure. Well, Arvidsson was going for a line change. So in the neutral zone, Forsberg's got it right around the center ice, and he dumps it over to an empty wing on the neutral zone, and that's when Dallas then comes in breaks into the zone and scores. So I chalk that one up to Forsberg. And then, of course, the one you just mentioned, the turnover in the zone, that's a second one. He's credited with three giveaways Okay. Two of which found this, found at least two, if not the other one, although I can't remember it. But at least two of his three giveaways that he's officially credited for, ended up in the back of the net.
I don't know what's wrong with Philip Forsberg right now. I mean, he didn't have a shot attempt in game four in Dallas. And then, you know, I know he had an assist on Johansson's goal to make it 3-2 at the time, but I watched Philip Forsberg today, and I just sat back thinking a lot of the time, like, what are you doing? Mattias Ekholm had another game where you're scratching your head thinking, right, who is this guy? This is not the Mattias Ekholm that we have grown to watch over the last few years where he's been rock solid. You're one of your most dependable defensemen. On a lot of nights, he is your most dependable defenseman. And right now, Mattias Ekholm, you have no idea what he's going to do. You don't know if he's going to turn it over. You don't know if he's going to take a bad penalty. He took another one tonight, unsportsmanlike, behind the net that just seemed completely.
Okay. I'm gonna
unnecessary.
I'm gonna let him off the hook for that one though, because the player he was embattled with was a Dickinson. I can't remember who it was.
It was Dickinson.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna go with Dickinson for now. Dickinson took a shot at Rene's glove after he had it covered. Rene took a shot back at Dickinson while he slid through his crease. Like, give him a nice little hack, and Ekholm was responding to that.
Now, I know he was.
Can you make an argument that that's not the time and place? Yeah, you absolutely could. But that's one of the ones he that went, I'm like, all right, like, you know.
He went too far with it.
I agree with that. Like, I don't mind
the
response.
On the ice.
I don't mind the response.
But he went too far in responding to that.
You can't
take a penalty like that.
I can't argue with that.
I actually was proud of PK Subban in the first period when him and Radulov were going at it.
Yes, I know where you're going with this.
Like, PK Subban, at the end of that whole exchange, was about to throw one of his forearm shivers.
You're right.
And he
backed off. He kept
restrained.
His composure. Yes.
But Mattias Ekholm, you can't do that. You just can't do that. 615-737-1025 if you want to call in and weigh in on this Game 5. A 5-3 loss for the Nashville Predators. The Stars take a 3-2 series lead. Game 6, Monday night in Dallas. We'll have a lot more. We'll hear from PK Subban. We'll hear from Pekka Rinne. And we'll also hear from Rocco Grimaldi, some interesting comments that he made on the postgame show with Darren McFarland and Hal Gill. All of that is yet to come on Preds Extra. Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's the details that are killing us, you know. You know, right now I think we're stretching our game out, and we got to play in blocks of five and shorten the ice a little bit. We're trying to make stretch plays, and, you know, it's not working for us. So, you know, that's our game plan, is to play in blocks of fives, and we have to work for each other. And I think once we start doing that, you know, we'll tie the series up.
Why do you think you've gotten away from that in these games?
There's a lot of things that happen that, you know, we're not sure of, but one thing for sure is we know how to win, and we know how to win in the playoffs, but we got to do it. And I think there's been enough talk, you know. We just have to go out and execute, and it's little things, you know. It's the attention to details in our D zones, off face-offs, you know, breaking out, getting pucks out of our zone into their zone. That, you know, you got to give them credit. They're doing those things really well right now, and we got to do those things better if we want to have success.
How much of the turnovers in your own zone been their forecheck versus you guys just not doing what you're supposed to do?
Well, yeah, they come hard, but it's execution, and, you know, we all have to want the puck and want to make plays, and we got to talk. You know, it's tough. It's tough to play in the playoffs. The crowd can be loud at times, and guys are, you know, coming with their knees bent. They're coming in, and they're trying to separate you from the puck. We have to talk a little bit more and support each other, and, you know, those things are the keys to winning at this time. And, you know, you can get away with those things during the regular season, but in the playoffs, you gotta work for each other and do those things really well.
Yeah. That was PK Subban after today's Game 5 between the Preds and Stars. The Stars win 5-3 to take a 3-2 series lead over the Nashville Predators. Game 6 Monday night. We don't know a start time yet for that Game 6. Right now, it is Game 6 in St. Louis, and the Blues are up 1-0 over the Jets. Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover inside Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. And you want to get to a call?
Sure.
615-737-1025 if you want to call in weigh in.
Maybe the listeners have something to say more than because it's just I'm so dumbfounded.
We said so much last segment. I don't know what else there is to say. I mean, this team I tweeted this out earlier, and we'll get to the call in a second. I tweeted this out earlier. It is hard to fathom how a lot of these Preds stars are playing in this series.
Yes.
A lot of the players that you depend on every single game to carry a lot of weight for you, they have been playing so poorly at times in this series. Guys that we discussed last segment, like Philip Forsberg and Matias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis hasn't been playing very well for a while now. Victor Arvidsson hasn't been doing much at all offensively, and I think the book is out on him for other teams. Be physical on him, and he's not going – if you're physical with him and you don't give him much time and space, he's not going to do much.
Yeah.
And all these stretch passes that PK Subban was alluding to, they're not working right now for this team. It worked for Philip Forsberg in Game 3 for that goal, but just in large part, it's not working very much. So,
it's not, and it's almost been the bread and butter of their creative offense this whole season, right? I mean, the creative entries, you have Arvidsson and Forsberg in particular dancing around guys, going, you know, breaking down the wing and then cutting into the net, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have that, but if it's not second, it's third. The way they love to create offense is through the air. You know, it's just not the stretch pass or the alley-oop, whichever one you want to – I consider them the same because they're both a stretch pass of sorts. And you're right, they're not working right now. And that might be one of the reasons that they're overthinking everything.
Just ask Terry Crisp. He is not a big fan of those stretch passes.
Interesting.
Let's go to Norman in Montreal, who has been waiting patiently to weigh in on this Game 5. Norman, welcome in.
Norm.
Yes, guys. I just want to say you guys are pretty thorough, very, very thorough, and you have covered pretty well everything. I just want to make a couple of comments. The level that the Dallas Stars are playing at, especially their first line and even with the rest of them, a little bit surprising. We knew that they were a strong team coming into the playoffs, what they did the last 3 months. So incredibly high level. The Stars, way they've been playing, we haven't matched it. So, but I just want to say, you know, guys, I still believe that the Predators, you know, like famous Herb Brooks said, Miracle on Ice Lake Placid, he said, one game, guys. It's one game. And I think they have enough fortitude, this team, to bounce back and, like PK said, win that sixth game. And I want to encourage all the Predator fans, don't get down, because I'm right on the Predators tweet, and a lot of people, they get down, you know. We lost, and, you know, they make these comments. But you know what? If the first line can match Ben's line, I still believe that we can win the sixth game.
Thank you, Norman, for the call, and thank you for holding. I'm not going to sit here and say this team can't go to Dallas and win Game 6.
Of course not.
And force a Game 7.
Of course they can.
There has to be a lot done with their game plan and adjustments for that to happen. Because if you go into Dallas and just expect to have the same game plan that they've had for the first 5 games of this series, if you go into it with that same game plan expecting different results, I don't know if you're going to get a different result.
How much at this time of year is it possible to throw a wrench in everything? You know, that's the thing. This team has been working so hard for so long, 82 regular season games, and now it'll be 6 playoff games here on Monday. When can you, or how can you at this point say, all right, you know what, we're not going to tweak something. We're going to go completely left field and do X, whatever that is. I don't know if that's, I mean, is that possible for, at this point of the year? I don't know if it is.
I don't know.
So if that's the case, then they're going to do the same thing, at least a form of the same thing. The only thing that they can really do, in my opinion, which could be wrong, but the only thing they can really do is they can fool with the power play combinations. They can put, you know, guys that aren't necessarily the power play out there, and that would at least be a different look.
But the thing is, they're not getting enough power plays to truly make a difference.
I totally agree with that.
The power play for me is not even on a primary point of
It's hard to argue
adjustments
that.
Right now.
It's hard to argue that part.
Because you're getting one or two power plays a game.
Right.
So for me, it is finding a way to fix that D-zone coverage that is allowing way too much right in front of Pecorine. Mm-hmm. Way too much. And look, I'm not a coach. I don't know how you fix it. But we all know that needs to be fixed for game six. Because that first line right now, Jim Montgomery didn't have the matchups tonight.
Right.
And that first line with Ben, Sagan, and Radulov had their way.
Yes. So think of what they'll do with the matchups.
That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
Let's go to Tyron in Brentwood. Wants to weigh in on game five. Tyron, welcome into Preds Extra.
Honor and privilege to be with you guys. Just a tough one if you're Predators fans. I think going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, when you look at teams like the Islanders and Columbus and Colorado and now the Stars, who knew that they were better teams than the opposing teams that they're playing and beating? But they are, and it just brings me to this. You know, Dallas is a better team than Nashville. I think that's my takeaway from this game. Clearly, they've taken a couple of punches from you this series, and each time they've gotten off the mat and they've destroyed you. You know, case in point in, you know, they lose game two in a tough game three at home where Bishop was kind of soft. Then they come back and they score 10 goals since then. And I just think Dallas is a better team when they play at their eighth max level. They're better than Nashville. No one knew it coming in. I wouldn't have predicted. I predicted Nashville and the Penguins to be in the Stanley Cup. And Penguins are already fishing, and the Predators are going to be joining them here in a few days. I mean, yeah, can Nashville go win game six in Dallas? Sure they could. They could come out like they did in game three and, you know, come out, you know, like gangbusters. But you know what's going to happen if that does happen? Dallas is going to come back right back here and win game seven in your building, just like Winnipeg did a year ago. Dallas is just a better team. They have a couple of stars. Sagan's playing great. Bishop has been great with the exception of game three. Pecorine has been great. Now, you look at the box score and you say, well, God, he gave up 9 goals the last 2 games, but that's not on him. That's on the crappy defense in front of him. And the power play's been bad all year, and bottom line is that's just lazy to me, the fact that you could go a whole year in your power play, you get nothing out of it, and it'd be awful. Because if you want to win a Stanley Cup final, you got to get something out of the power play in the playoffs. It can't be just junk, and that's what it is. And I just think at the end of the day, Dallas is a better team. And, you know, these lower-seeded teams, who knew going in? Who knew?
I know.
They're better teams. You know, I tell you right now, guys, if I had to put a bunch of money on the Stanley Cup final, and that's either here nor there, I would say Colorado and either Columbus or Colorado and the Islanders. These teams want it. They have star power, especially Dallas, Colorado, and, Columbus, and they want it more. And you guys hit it, the previous people hit it in point, y'all did too. Dallas wants it more right now. They want it more. It means more to them right now. And I know Predators fans don't want to hear that, but that's just the bottom line. And I got to say this in closing to Barry Trotz. Shout out to him. That man is on a mission. Everything he's touched the last year is gold. And he right now today is by far the best coach in hockey. Shout out to Trotz and Predators fans. Whether it's 6 or 7, turn off the lights. The party's over.
Thank you, Tyron, for the call. I would agree with him that the Stars have been the better team in this series. I'm not willing to say they are a better team just in general because a lot of those comments are made when you look at a team on paper. What I will say is when the Predators face any sort of adversity in this series or something goes wrong, they don't have much of a response, right? When something goes wrong for Dallas, they have a response.
Right.
With game one, when the Preds have that great first period, it's the first playoff game in a long time for that Stars team. You're thinking, okay, how are they going to respond? They had a response. For the next 35 minutes, they dominated that game.
Mm-hmm.
They have a response. Whenever the Preds hit them in the mouth, they hit them right back. And when the Stars hit you in the mouth, in this series, there hasn't been much. You can go to the Rocco Grimaldi goal in game two. After Jamie Benn made it 1-0, the Preds tied it right back up. But when things are going wrong for this Preds team right now, they seem to kind of spiral out of control where you can't stop the bleeding. You've had opportunities to stop the bleeding in this series, and you haven't been able to do it.
It's very interesting because this team did face some adversity, not a lot of adversity, but they faced some adversity during the regular season. They had some come-from-behind wins, especially late, Porth. Remember, they hadn't been – I think they won like one or two games all season long after getting down 2-0 in a game. And I think they won the last two games of the regular season after getting down 2-0 with the Central Division on the line. So the precedence is that it's a small sample size, but the precedence is there. But you're right. They can't – it's seriously, it goes back to my vinyl record analogy of it seems like they're in the groove to start a game, whatever it is. And then just out of nowhere, there's a scratch in the record, and the record player can't find the groove the rest of the way. It's so odd.
And when it gets like that, the Preds are an easy team to play against.
Well, as was proved tonight.
Like, when they come out guns a-blazing, they're tough to play against. And then once that one thing goes wrong.
It's because they dictate the play. That's how they have to do. And I know there's another team out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's, again, easier said than done. But when they do come guns a-blazing at the beginning of the game, right, or even – was the last half of the game in game three? Was that what they had the last 10 minutes, the last third period. They dictate the play, and that's when they get looks. That's when they get chances. That's when they generate scoring opportunities. That's when Bishop has to go left to right as opposed to just, I'm going to take one and try to make a glove save or take one in the chest or whatever. They make it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't, They
can't generate anything.
Right.
Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover. We have a couple open lines if you want to call in and weigh in. We'll get to some more reaction before we get out of here, before the Carolina Hurricanes take on the Washington Capitals at the top of the hour. Game 5 in that series as well. More Preds Extra after this on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Just Dallas playing just better team right now. It's plain and simple. I don't think we're in a level where, you know, we want to or anybody wants to. So lots to work. You know, we gotta get just better. It's not good enough.
Preds goaltender Pekkarinen. Earlier this afternoon, following Game 5, in which the Stars win 5-3 to take a 3-2 series lead over the Nashville Predators. Any thoughts there, Gover, from Pekka, or do you want to go straight to the phones?
No, I do have a thought on that. I recorded that audio, and I asked him that question.
Yeah.
And he looked dejected, not just because they lost the game, but there's a aura there of – not helplessness, I'm not going to say that, but just like he'd been hit by an oncoming train. You know, like it was just so...
I mean, that's what these last two games have felt like.
Right. They're searching for answers, you know, and Rene is trying to be the good guy, as he always is, trying to talk to us and, you know, do his part, but he also, of course, doesn't want to point fingers and blame anybody else when we all know that he was not at fault for either one of those outings. So it's very tough to watch a man of his caliber search for thoughts and words.
Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover. We're going to the top of the hour. We have many callers to get to, so I ask everyone to keep it shorter and keep it simple. Let's start with William in Lebanon, wants to comment on the power play. William, thanks for holding and welcome into Preds Extra.
Sure, guys. Comment and a question. I know earlier in the year that Coach McCarthy was running the power play, and then he switched over to Coach Muse. Is Coach Muse still doing it, and have they thought maybe about letting Pardner take a try at it? And my second question is, why is it so difficult for you guys to say today during a day game? That's it.
That's a very fair question.
Habits. That is a fair
old
question.
Habits die hard, my friend.
I believe Dan Muse is running it right now.
I believe so as well, but I cannot confirm that.
I would echo that. Let's go to Bob in Antioch. Wants to weigh in on today's Game 5. Bob?
Today's game.
Yeah, today's Game 5. Bob, welcome in.
Thank you. I have a question for you guys. It seems to me more and more like maybe a couple of years ago when we went to the finals, that might have been the year that we caught lightning in a bottle, and maybe – the talent level, even though we've got good players, the talent level isn't as elite as we may have thought that it was. And secondly, maybe some of these guys are, you know, starting to be on the back end of their career. Either that or the fact that some of those injuries that they had earlier in the year still haven't healed up. I'd like your comments on that.
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for calling. I'll address the first one first. The whole maybe they caught lightning in a bottle. I hear you on that, but then I ask this question. Then why did they win the President's Trophy last regular season? Like, if that was just a random playoff run to the Stanley Cup Final.
Which we have seen before.
We have seen before. The 06 Oilers are a perfect example of that.
Right.
Then why did they, in turn, win the President's Trophy? Like, they were so good last regular season. And, yes, they've been up and down ever since the start of the playoffs last year. They've been very topsy-turvy and roller coaster. But I'm not going that far in terms of saying this team isn't as good as they were like during the playoffs in terms of like the talent. We know Forsberg. We know Arvidsson. We know Johansson. We know the defensemen have a lot of talent in them. It's them playing with it consistently. The one player that I think maybe the injuries are catching up to in terms of the duration of his career, I wonder about Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis right now does not look the same. He looks like a shell of what he was before the end of last season.
I will touch on this briefly because I know we got other callers to get to. I find it very hard to believe that guys who are 29 years old and 28 years old and 27 years old are on the downside of their career. So I don't buy that just yet. Now, if you want to talk to me when they're 31, 32, then we can have that conversation. But the only ones that are over 31 on this roster are Matt Irwin not playing, Cody McLeod not playing, Brian Boyle, who nobody has a problem with him. Pecorine has been ridiculous in this series. He's been great. And Dan Hamhuis, who also, by the way, as we talked about on Preds Insiders, has not been a liability at all. Him and Favreau have been really good for
They've
what they
solid.
Are.
They've been solid.
So those are all the players that are over 31 years of age or 31 years or older on this roster. I don't have a problem with any of those guys.
The last call we'll get to for Preds Extra, Brett in Nashville. Brett, welcome into Preds Extra.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just kind of curious. I didn't go over you hit on it exactly. Dejected. They sound dejected. I look at a lot of dumb passes. I look at a lot of just being out-hustled to pucks, and they just don't seem to have that hunger they had a couple of years ago. Does this team have it in them?
Thanks for the call, Brett. I'm hard-pressed right now to answer that with a yes.
I don't like the use of the word hunger here. You can make an argument for that, sure, because there's been a lack of hunger in some of the plays, and certainly some of the games, especially game four. But hunger I have an issue with. I do think that they are playing too tight. Because you notice in the Stanley Cup final run, right, they played very loose. It was almost like it was them against the world. They weren't supposed to be there, you know, all that. And they really put all their talent together and went on this magical run.
And they
run.
Were focused. Like,
right.
Like they were focused at the task at hand.
But they were loose, though.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the circumstance of the series. I don't know, but I have not seen that looseness.
They look like
yet.
A team that has a lot of pressure on them.
Right. And that is maybe not the solution for this group. Now,
I don't know.
How you get rid of that, I don't know. Right? I mean, if you have Stanley Cup aspirations coming into the season and then you win the Central, you know, maybe you put that on yourself. But maybe that's not the correct solution for this group.
Hard to fathom what we're watching right now with
it
this
Reds
team. It
is. Very tough.
Jeremy K. Gover, thank you as always for joining us here on Preds Extra.
Thanks for having me in, man. Hopefully there's many more of these.
Hopefully. For Jeremy K. Gover, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you for listening to Preds Extra. Coming up next, it is Game 5 from D.C. between the Canes and the Caps.